Warning. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to the book of John. A few weeks ago, we began to look at the book of Acts. And the way we introduce this is, when we look at God's Word, as Luke wrote the book of Luke, and also as we have today the book of Acts, we can see this as history of the early church. Let me say that one more time. History of the early church. And when we look at the early church, we see how the gospel was spread. We can make a distinction between all the different lies that are spoken today concerning the Lord's church. And I'll start with a question again. How many churches did the Lord institute? One church. And you can look at the data around the world. The figure I saw, there's 40,000 different denominations, all of them claiming to be the Lord's church. In the United States alone, there's approximately 4,000 different groups that claim to be the Lord's church. Now, the Bible tells us there is how many faiths? One faith. So again, we need to look at God's Word, and to ascertain what the truth is, you have to read the Word. That's the only place you're going to get the truth. Now let's look at John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Again, as we look at what Jesus said, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue my word, you shall know what? The truth. And the truth will set you free. Now, if you're here today, and you want to be free in the sense that you are a servant of God, then you need to read God's Word and know God's Word. Because that's where the truth is. Now we began to examine the book of Acts. And we see here that Jesus commanded his disciples to go and wait for him. And they did exactly, or wait for the promise, and they did exactly what he told them to do. And during that period of time, we see that the apostles also selected another by the providence of God, so they could have 12 apostles. So now we're going to continue. Let's turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Because what we're looking at today in a little bit more detail is on this day that the promise was made, the Holy Spirit came upon his apostles. And they were able to speak in different languages, as we're going to see. So we looked at Acts chapter 1. We saw the different ways that it was mentioned, but he spoke specifically to his apostles, and he gave them a specific command to go and wait, and you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at John chapter 16 and verse 13. Why is it so important to understand the role of the Holy Spirit? In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into some of the truth." No, that's not what it says. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Once again, he's speaking to his apostles, his disciples. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 26. Again, the role of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatever I have said to you." So once again, speaking to them, he's going to teach you all things, bring all things to remembrance, whatever I have said to you. Again, as apostles, we're going to have a very important mission. And what was that mission? They were going to go out into the world, and they were going to preach the gospel to the Jews and the Gentiles. And if you look back at that time period, it was a very difficult period for those people at that time, the situation that they lived in. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Again, in context, looking at the promises made to his disciples. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said to them, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth." Now let me ask you, did the Holy Spirit come upon his apostles? Yes, he did. He did it on the day of Pentecost. And we've been looking at that the last few weeks to see what took place when that occurred. And let's turn to Acts chapter 2 again. And look at verses 1 through 13. And notice again, this is history. This is fact. Luke is presenting this to us. Luke was with the Lord. Luke was with those who were eyewitnesses and secondhand witnesses. And he's giving us an account of what took place. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Who was the they there? The apostles. Continuing, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. The last time I spoke about this, where they were sitting was not necessarily in the upper room. The apostles met in different places. We're told in scriptures that they were in Jerusalem and they met daily in the temple. And we examine the time of day. And then it says, and there appeared to them, who's them again? The apostles. Divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. So there's the sign. Divided tongues upon the apostles, sat upon each of them. Look at verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here we find the promise that Jesus made to them, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's going to guide them into all truth, bring them into remembrance of all things Jesus had told them. And they're going to be able to go out and be witnesses of those things that took place. Eyewitnesses. Verse 4. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. Again, the fact. Remember, there was a dispersion of the Jews because of persecution. Babylonia, all the regions around, Jews were everywhere. But they came to Jerusalem for what purpose? To observe the Pentecost. That's a command that they had. So Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. Now think about this circumstance. I gave some numbers, and there are some people who kind of analyzed it, and they came up with the idea there's probably over a million people there in Jerusalem at this time. That's a lot of people. And now we find that when they begin to speak, they heard them in their whose tongue? In their own tongue. That means they heard them and understood their own language. Now, for just a moment, what language am I speaking right now? Hopefully I'm speaking the English language. Now, let me ask you a question. Are there different dialects of the English language? Yeah, there is. There's different dialects of the English language. And here we have these Jews, devout men from all of the parts of the world, and they're listening to Peter and James, John, all of them speaking, and they hear what? In their own language. Is that a miracle? Yes. Is that a miracle? Yes, it is. Now, the reason for that miracle, as we discussed earlier, is because we're going to see in the future there's a specific reason that they spoke in a different tongue. It was to convince the who? The unbelievers, that what they were hearing was from who? Was from God. It was to convince the unbelievers that what they heard was from God. And that's critical to understand. Now let's turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Because from that point on, the apostles are inspired by God. They have direct revelation. The Holy Spirit is helping them to remember everything they were taught. And now they are going out into the world and they are being witnesses to what Jesus wants them to teach. And they're preaching about the kingdom of heaven. They want people to know who Jesus is. And they want to convert people to become followers of Christ. That's their mission that they're sent to do. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Because I want to ask you a question. How does God speak to people today? How does God speak to people today? Right. Now we hear people all the time say, God spoke to me last night. God gave me a revelation. Do people say that? Yes, they do. Now I want to point out, and I don't want there to be any doubt in your mind, anybody who makes that claim that they're doing it in the sense that the apostles did are what? They are lying to you. They are lying. They do not do it in the same sense that the apostles did. Are there people who make that claim? Yes. Many different denominations around the world, they teach and believe that they have living apostles today. They teach and believe that they speak in tongues because they've been baptized by the Holy Spirit in the same sense. And when they make those claims, let there be no doubt, they are contradicting what we find in God's Word. Now, how does God speak to us today? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. And here it says, God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world. So, in times past, he spoke to the world different ways, through prophets, men that God spoke to, and they presented the word as revelation from God. But today, how does God speak to us? Again, look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. We need to listen to his Son. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Do you know what delegation is? Delegation. The apostles are to represent Christ. That's what it almost literally means. They are his representatives. They're going out with a message. And Jesus delegated it to them. He appointed them to go out and to proclaim the good news of his kingdom, to proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1, again in verse 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto both me and both Jerusalem and the Judea and into Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. So we see what's taking place. In times past, God spoke to prophets, then he spoke through his Son, and then his Son told them, you are going to be witnesses of me. We see the progression here. Now, how does God speak to us today? Through his Son, through his Word. It's turned out to understand that there are people who make claims today that they can do the same thing. There are people who claim today that they can speak in tongues, that they can raise people from the dead, they can heal the blind. Do people claim that? Yes. Now let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Because we do not have apostles like we do in Acts chapter 1 and 2 and following today. There were others other than the apostles who could perform miracles. But there was a specific means by which they could do that. Does anybody remember how somebody else other than an apostle could heal or speak in a different language? How was it done? By the laying on of what? Of hands. By the laying on of hands of who?
The apostles.
Apostles. So others could receive these miraculous gifts, but the only way it could be done was by the laying on of the apostles' hands. Are there any apostles living today? I don't think so. I don't think so. It's about 2,000 years ago, right? Roughly speaking. So let's turn now to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. And here we find specific instructions. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So how did Timothy receive his gift? By the laying on of hands. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance what thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of whose hands? My hands, Paul's hands. And the last time I spoke about these messages, we saw how many apostles were there out there? 27? No. How many? 13. 12 apostles, and then Paul, the 13th. 12 apostles to who? The Jews. And who was Paul the apostle to? The Gentiles. So we see that taking place. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Because the way that we know God's word today is only one way. And that is through reading his word. If you do not read his word, then you are not reading what he wants you to know. That's where it's at. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. And are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Built upon the prophets, the apostles, and Jesus Christ as the foundation of what we know today. Let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Again, who's writing this particular letter? Paul. Acknowledge that what I am writing to you are commandments of the Lord. Paul did this by inspiration. So here we see this way that God's word was transmitted to us and how we can know the truth today. And Jesus said again in John chapter 8 to those Jews who believed in him, if you continue in what? My word, who's speaking? Jesus, my word, you shall know what? The truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now there are many men since the time of Jesus and his apostles who have claimed to be prophets. Is that a true statement? And there are many false religions in the world today who follow the teachings of these prophets. And it's an awful shame. It's an awful shame. Because many of these people, they're good people, they're sincere, they have good hearts, they want to help, and they're friendly and all that kind of thing. But they are sincerely what? Lost. And a good example that we find in the scriptures is who? Saul of Tarsus. What did he do at first? He persecuted those who preached about Christ. He stood there and watched as who was being stoned to death? Stephen. They laid their clothes at his feet. He got a letter to go out to Damascus, again, to pursue those who were teaching about the way, about Jesus Christ. But something happened to him, didn't it? Something happened to him. And he spoke. He said this, I did all things in all good what? Conscience. When he was there, observing Stephen being stoned to death, when he was hauling Christians in to imprison them and some of them being put to death, he did it in all good what? Conscience. He thought he was serving God. The same thing has happened today. Many people who belong to wrong beliefs teach wrong things. They sincerely believe they are serving who? Serving God. But just being sincere, does that make you right? No. You must know God's word. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what we need to make sure we all do. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Because here we see, and we're going to look in great depth about the preaching of the gospel in Pentecost. But after it was done, there were many who were baptized that day, baptized into Christ. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine. Now the word doctrine means their teaching, what they taught. And it says they continued steadfastly in what the apostles taught, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we can, again, take a look at some of the things that took place here on that particular day. Again, they were speaking, and people understood them in their own language. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 6, and the multitude came together. They were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were confused. They were bewildered. They were amazed at what's taking place. Verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, look, are these not Galileans who speak? And if you know anything about Galileans in that particular day, they were not looked about as being of the educated class. They were the working class, hard laborers, fishermen, etc. So they were looked upon as, you know, not being literate or not having a lot of knowledge about different kinds of things. Go down to verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Whatever could this mean? Was this a miracle taking place? Yes, it was. As we're going to see later, every miracle that was performed had one purpose. Does anybody remember what that one purpose was? To confirm the word of God. That what we speak to you is what? Is the truth. And again, like Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We'll stop there, and God willing, we'll continue to look at the book of Acts, the history, and specifically next time, I hope to begin to look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, as I began this series of lessons, I said there's a very specific reason I'm doing this. Is it important to know all the details and all the facts? Yes, it is. And I have to admit, I shied away from this in the past. Because you have to put all these details in a way people can understand. Is that an easy thing to do? No. Are we all at the same level? Do we all spend 5 hours a day reading the Bible? No. I'm going to do my best that I can to show you the important details that we can share with other people. To show them that there is how many ways? One way. There's how many faiths? One faith. How many churches? One church. And if you are not part of the church that Jesus Christ died for, what's going to happen? It's appointed unto men once to die and then what? The judgment. And as we're studying the book of Jeremiah, and I like 1 Kings chapter 4, because he told me, you read that today, if you keep my promises, what's going to happen? You're going to be blessed. But if you don't, what's going to happen? You're going to be a byword. People aren't even know anything about you. That was back then. Now today, we have a different promise. If you continue my word, you know the truth will set you free. And that means when you leave this world physically, where will you be? You will be with him forever. That's what's important. Because just the opposite. If you are not part of this church and you leave this world today, you will be separated from him forever. You got a choice to make, don't you? The choice is yours. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, I want to encourage you to take that step. If you've heard the good news about Jesus Christ, if you believe in him, you need to be able to confess him and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Your sins are not forgiven until you have obeyed the gospel. Your sins are not forgiven. And again, we pointed out, many people today believe that their sins are forgiven. But they've not met the standard that is put forth in God's word. And that's the problem. You can be sincere and sincerely believe you're right before God. But you can be sincerely what? Sincerely wrong. So if you've not yet obeyed the gospel, I encourage you to take that step. If you're here, you desire the prayers of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.